Good morning. Good morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. It's 8:05, and you're listening to it on KBOO. And you were just listening to Low with a little number called Especially Me from their 2011 album, Come On.
I gotta say, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, just sort of a nice way to start a sunny, freaky day. I think it might be summer.
You think?
I think it might be summer. I know that we're having a solar eclipse today, folks. New moon, solar eclipse, Cancer. This is all about relationships. It can be about, you know, like two polarizing forces. One's need to sort of break destructive patterns that have to do with your past and fear of change.
Well, goodness, that does sound, that sounds rather pertinent to the conversation this morning, doesn't it, Lynn? As all things come together, as they often do here on Positively Revolting, we like to, you know, sort of make those connections. Good morning, I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
It's about 6 after 8 in the morning, and you are tuned to KBOO, your very, very own community radio station. And as we approach the 4th of July, we're looking to question our thoughts, our ideas around independence, freedom, liberty, you know, and to do it in a positively revolting style. Because this is a good time to pull focus together as we have the zeitgeist. I always think it's nice to like sort of pull back to expand the picture and to sort of use the currents that are around us to, you know, sort of...
The tidal waves that are around us?
Yeah,
the
sure.
Tsunamis that are
sure.
around us?
Well, yeah, oh, too soon. but to sort of use the zeitgeist, if you will, to broaden public discourse. And so here we are. We know what's happening this weekend, right? We're going to... Yeah, everyone has... if we walk in parks, we're going to see picnics, we're going to see flags, and we're going to
blow things up.
We're going to hear a whole lot about freedom. And I think it's probably a fine idea then to go ahead and engage in the conversation. And let's broaden it. Let's broaden the horizon. Let's actually discuss freedom and what it means. And how we deal with that in, well, our lives on a day-to-day basis. We blow things up, says Lynn.
Have you walked around a lot on the 4th of July?
Oh, my word. I don't have to wait till the 4th.
No, I know.
I know. My street, already, little war zone. But, of course, I live in Bethlehem, so what can you expect? I have, you know, we have a lot of interesting traditions that go along with this holiday. I will never forget the little fireworks stand on 47th, 45th, and Hawthorne. Years ago, call it 15 years ago, maybe, wherein they had a sign that said, I love my country, so I blow things up. You know, a fireworks stand, you know, it's just, it was right there. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. I can't make this stuff up. So Lynn was talking about relationships and the sort of solar influences in our lives at this point around that. Wow. And
well, solar eclipses, so start, especially with a new moon, right, in Cancer. Also, it's so things that you think about and try to, it's a time to get them to try. You don't have to put them into action yet because it's going to, what you put in motion now will come to fruition maybe in 6 months, or a lot of times it happens when the next solar eclipse happens. So it's a longer process.
And really a process of freeing, if you will.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I mean, and sometimes that doesn't feel great.
Change
is a little hard.
Change is great, you first, you know what they say.
Yeah. But again, so we asked that question, what does it mean to live free? Is it actually something we desire? Or is, you know, to what extent? There are different, you know, levels, of course.
Well, does it mean being completely by yourself? Does it mean the freedom to be yourself in a relationship? Does it be the freedom to have relationships with people? Does it mean the freedom to be without worry of financial ruin? Does it feel mean to be free from the worry of no health insurance? What, you know, freedom is not just about running down the street naked.
Nice. There's probably my favorite quote for the morning. I'm just going to go ahead and venture a guess. And we want to, of course, encourage your participation, dear listeners. 503-231-8187, the number to call to join us this morning in the conversation. How do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as independent? Is it even desirable to be independent? Or does that actually, is that a part of the problem? As we see ourselves as rugged individuals, and that can sometimes feed into alienation and isolation. I always liked, years ago, I lived on a block that we all had a big block party sometime over this weekend and would call it our Codependence Day party. And, you know, there's the codependent. We all know, right? Codependent if you want me to be. I'm there. But there's interdependence. And interdependence, you know, I think is the essence of community. And I think that within interdependence, we actually can find a huge degree of freedom as we create community that can be supportive structures economically, that can be supportive structures socially, mm-hmm. That can free us from alienation and isolation. And we can actually be stronger together in those ways than we can as so-called rugged individuals who, you know, let's face facts. It takes a whole lot of strength to stand alone. And I think often as a result of that, one may become brittle. You know, it's I always like to think of little tree metaphors. The tree that stands alone sometimes snaps. You know, mm-hmm. You need the reinforcement of others when it comes to a good, windstorm, if you will. So there's some of my thoughts are this morning. Windstorms, tsunamis. But wait, it looks like a nice weekend, Lynn.
I know.
Yeah. What can
and
you
I'm
do?
And I'm for it. Another thing, so our number is 503-231-8187. Or if you don't feel like talking to anybody and you would just like to type on your computer, give us a jingle, I almost said. Give us your comments on positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We all know the Gmail.
We do. And then we can look at actually a few other things, a few other ways, so many other ways that freedom comes into play. Of course, there's the sort of sense of social freedoms, you know, our civil liberties, you know, our rights, if you will. But then.
And what are those these days, do you think?
That's. Lynn, it's like you're in my head.
Oh, no, I don't go there.
We're raised with that notion that we live in a free country and we're guaranteed these freedoms.
Best country in the world.
But, you know, in the last decade, we've heard a whole lot, been told really upfront and blatantly that sometimes these freedoms, well, you know, they come at the cost of freedom. Because, you know, freedom isn't free after all. We got to give up some freedoms to maintain our liberties. Or was it giving up some liberties to maintain our
freedoms? I don't know. It makes my head explode.
It was one way or the other. And so there's another, question. How is it that, you know, in this free society, we have actually far less freedoms than we actually believe we have, but at the same time, more freedoms than most of us use?
How do we have more freedoms than most of us use?
I think most of us self-censor to a point that, you know, we don't need to.
Of speech, you mean?
Speech, thought.
Thought.
How do we limit ourselves? How do we limit our perceptions of what's possible? You know, we don't have the burn-in times these days yet. Though there's a couple of folks that might be wanting to see that back again. I don't know. There's another conversation we can have and how that might fit in. But there's...
You mean reproductive freedom?
Sure. Really the freedom to do something outside of the, one angry God's viewpoint.
Oh.
That kind of freedom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes freedom ain't free and you have to stick within one angry God's viewpoint or you get followers trying to shoot you or run you over.
Right.
You know, I'm a little touchy having worked in an abortion clinic, I admit. But that is actually another concern on the rise. Today, as we see a real
I read an article this week. I wish I had it up.
I'll have it in moments. I will.
Some woman that was tried for a stillbirth.
Oh, now see, I haven't
lovely
seen
southern,
this.
Yeah. Oh, gosh darn it. How are we?
There's an article by Alex Henderson called The Tea Party and the Right. You can find it on Alternet this week, and that's alternet.org, called Fighting the Culture Wars with Hate, Violence, and Even Bullets Meet the Most Extreme of the Radical Christians, from the Army of God to the Hutterite Militia to Gary North and his Christian Reconstructionists. Radical Christianity is alive and well in the United States. It is a fascinating article, and, you know, if you, like myself, like freedom to do things that may be outside of that one angry God's vision of reality, or at least his followers, then you may also be concerned, like me, and it's good to be aware of what's going on. We have with us on the air, joining us now, Diana. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. How are you? This is a very interesting topic you've chosen. I mean, it couldn't be bigger.
Well, yeah, okay. We like to tackle the big ones every now and right. again. I always like to think of these shows as sort of the wild wisdom shows, because I think our community members have a whole lot of wisdom. And when we can pull ourselves together and really have a kind of vibrant discourse of many viewpoints, I think that we all learn something from it and can deepen our lives and work.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm calling, because awesome. I really honor that you do think that, and I think it would be, I hope a lot of people are listening this morning, because it'd be wonderful to hear from very many different people, and I was just, my contribution, I hope, will be something anyway, but to say, for it really depends on who you ask what freedom means, doesn't it?
Certainly does that.
For example, I'm just thinking of the one that you were sort of referring to, is if a woman, for an example, chooses or decides that it's her right to choose how she will relate to her life, her spiritual life, her physical life, and that includes, of course, her sexual and reproductive life. And that's her idea of freedom, is to be unfettered in that choice. That's an idea of freedom that might exist. And yet, there is apparently an idea floating around somewhere that someone else has, which is, no, I have the freedom to prevent you from making those choices. So that's what I meant by it depends on whom you ask. And, of course, if you asked people who have grown up, as I did, white and middle class, freedom, you know, on the 4th of July indicated, you know, as you said, picnics and fireworks, and it takes a while before you become aware that many people don't have that same relationship. African Americans' idea of freedom, experience, I should say, of freedom in this country, is certainly been a mockery.
Mm-hmm.
A mockery. And so here is this, as somebody has called, the animating impulse of being American, freedom. And everybody thinking about and defining it each in our own way, based on our own experience. And yet I would think that one of the things that's worth thinking about is freedom in relationship to other ideas, such as respect and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because freedom to do whatever you want, clearly, when it has no bounds at all,
mm-hmm.
is something we see has brought us to misery.
Do you remember that old, it's an old phrase called, your freedom ends where my nose begins?
Ah, that's wonderful.
I learned that in kindergarten.
No, I don't remember that. That's great.
I learned it in kindergarten.
Go ahead.
As a place where you learn many of the important things in life.
Right. I've come across a book, and that was the main reason I wanted to call, because if someone is really interested in pursuing what this has meant in our, you know, our national culture, our whole history of all of us, there's a book that's been written, I think, recently called The Story of American Freedom, and it's by Eric Foner. And it is remarkable, because what he's done is traced from the very beginning of this country, what it has meant and how it has played out for everybody here. And it's a well-written book. I don't know when this came out, but I think it's fairly new. Maybe I can find out. Anyway, The Story of American Freedom by Eric Foner. He's a 1998.
Thank you. That's very appropriate.
Professor
for the
at
day.
Columbia. And the book is very accessible, very easy to read, and just full of amazing and surprising things, and definitely some food for thought, grist for the mill.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for doing this show. I'm going to listen and hope that lots of different people call in.
And thank you very much for calling.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Cheers.
The freedom to have some new callers. Yes.
It's about 21 after 8 in the morning, and you are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio here with Ani.
And Lynn.
And let's see. We can go to Harriet. Good morning, Harriet. Oh, Harriet is no longer here.
She went out for coffee.
So, coffee. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And share your thoughts and opinions, just like Diana did, on freedom. And to me, I mean, you know, Diana has the ultimate, you know, point in this conversation I had mentioned earlier. You know, to what point, you know, do we want freedoms? Are freedoms desirable? I think freedom has to be always wedded with responsibility. And, you know, because if we all indeed engage in absolute ability to do whatever without any kind of moral, ethical, or, you know, I don't know, moral, ethical, thoughtful thought to the consequences, to the repercussions of actions, then while we get into the short-sighted thinking of resource extraction at unsustainable rates, then we get into
the kind of sociopathic thinking that has led to many of the issues that are going on today. Things like, oh, nuclear power, it works, it's safe.
But you know, so we always have to, I think, wed freedoms with responsibility. The responsibility, in fact, to take care of one another and to take care of yourself, I think, is paramount. You know, first, do no harm, right? And if you actually work it through from there, I think we start getting a blueprint of at the base level of responsibility to each other, which, again, if we create a safe environment, we can all play harder, right? We can be more creative. And that's when I want to get back to the ideas of interdependence in community and finding freedom in interdependence. I think that these things actually work well together as groups of people who can be supportive to each other in our individual processes, you know, can help each other sort of liberate our minds, our spirits, and looking at freedom as a mental liberation process. We talked about how one limits their perceptions of what's possible because we don't have the feeling that vision is any kind of valid, that we, you know, it's so, we're the only one. If we speak, it will be ostracized. So we aren't speaking it. So we don't know that this other person thinks that too, and that we could actually have a viable movement to say, you know, gain a culture based on tight-knit communities of interdependence, breaking away from the need for U.S. currency, breaking away from the need for, you know, slaving our corporate masters, breaking away from all of those things that actually keep us completely unfree. You know, we can develop this together now. We don't have to wait. It's something that we can start doing, right?
How would we do that?
Well, there are people who are, in fact, working into sort of self-supporting, you know, systems, sustainable systems, getting off the grid, working together in cooperative manners to, you know, support each other and sustain themselves. Why not turn that direction? But that's a you know, really, that's an idea, that's a thought that's out there that a lot of people aren't aware of. It seems pie in the sky-like, you know, but how can we start transitioning now into the world we want to see later? And what kind of freedoms does that world offer? Because to me, it's paramount.
You mean electoral politics doesn't do it for you, Ani?
Right. Right. To me, it's paramount that we actually have choices in order to experience freedom. So Coke or Pepsi, Republican or Democrat, you know, nuclear or coal. These are not...
iPhone or BlackBerry.
I don't feel free. I may be able to make these choices, and yet I think you can see that it leaves me in a sort of deeply unsatisfied
position. I know. That is one of the geniuses of the... I don't just want to call it a right-wing culture, the dominant, what do we call that? What we're immersed in the middle of, the geniuses of it, is to get people to think that they have choices because you've got 5,000 brands of coffee and you've got 80 different kinds of toilet paper to buy.
That's
those
right.
are
those
actual
consumer choices.
Yes.
As Billy Bragg notes, as long as you're comfortable, it feels like freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a farce, right? So that's part of illusion. And actually, it's part of what keeps us chained. It's the antithesis.
The genius of the oppression, yes.
Of freedom. Yeah, so I guess, you know, questions that I have, like I said, how is it that we limit our perceptions of what's possible? If you want to answer this or any other question, or perhaps a question in your own head, call us now, 503-231-8187.
Don't wait till the last minute.
Nearly 8:30.
You can't get on.
It's so true. Nearly 8:30 in the morning, and you are, in fact, listening to KBOO, your community radio station. You can make it your very own community radio station when you go to KBOO.fm. You can listen online. You can also join online. If you are not a member of KBOO yet, you can
do
that now.
Be a joiner.
Be a joiner. Because we really do rely on you to keep independent, vital programming on the air. And one of those programs, I got to say, is the one happening right now. We are asking you to engage in the conversation around freedom, around liberty, around, well, we haven't quite gotten into how we mute our desires. And this is something that I wanted to talk about, and that's socialization. So oftentimes we're not actually aware of how we limit ourselves, right? Because we're just sort of, what's the water we're swimming in? And a lot of that, to me, in my life, comes down to looking at choices and issues around sexuality, around gender. It comes down to issues of, I was once when I was a girl, long ago, just,
oh dear,
just a youngin.
A tale is coming.
I was in college, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and my professor, I loved this women's studies professor at PSU, brought up the point that she will never know, and in fact, none of us in that class would ever know, what our desires were truly like if they were left unsocialized into a very dominant heteronormative value. That there were even those of us who may have identified as bisexual or as lesbian or gay, but that we would never know how we had been affected by the fact that we were raised with the idea that there is but one way to be. Now, the reason I started out by saying this was when I was but a girl long, long ago was this was like, you know, 1988. We've moved on 23 years apace, you know, from then. And I've got to say, representations of queer issues and queer lives in pop culture and in media is certainly more prevalent now than it was 23 years ago.
Right.
And certainly far more prevalent than it was 20 years before that, when those of us who were in that class were actually forming those socialized values. But we're not quite there yet. And we're certainly not there in terms of non-binary gender. And I think that that's, that's something that we also need to look at when we look at personal expression, when we look at freedom. You know, we have subtle and not so subtle cues about what is acceptable. And, a lot of folks sort of feel, I think, that, well, we don't really need to talk about gender issues because, you know, you are what you are, and you just sort of go through the day there. But to some of us who don't fit nicely within boxes, that doesn't work so well because our lives are, well, being formed by the opinions of others. That's true for us all, but it really becomes visible when you're outside of the heteronormative.
There was an article, I believe, and I think you put it on Facebook, but I just brought it up about a school in a preschool in Sweden. It's a lovely country.
The Agalia.
The Agalia preschool that we're going to start avoiding words like him or her. And addressing people as friends. How lovely is that? Also, I was thinking there was we were at some point going to interview this woman, and it didn't happen, that wrote Cinderella Ate My
Daughter.
And she was talking.
We'll be interviewing her in a couple months. She's not available at this time.
Right. Her daughter wore overalls and blah, blah, got to preschool, and one little boy just looked at her and went, "Girls don't wear that stuff." And she dropped it
and
like a hot
potato.
And suddenly
she didn't.
Now, on the other hand, when I was but a sprite myself in my 20s and living in a house full of people, as people tended to do and still do sometimes, there was a three-year-old who lived there who had to have the Pepto-Bismol pink room. And she was not, from us, socialized. We were trying to put her in overalls and Mexican shirts and little boots and have her dress like us, and she was having none of it. And also in Waldorf school, because part of the thing with kids is that in many traditions that they're not fully grounded till they're about six. And in the preschool, I love this idea. Waldorf preschools, everybody, the rooms are pink, and anybody in the world can wear a tutu or not. But some people refer to it as airy fairy. I don't. I think of it as expression, but that's a different story.
Well, and again, this is another way we socialize, right?
Yeah, right.
We do it through so-called humor. We do it through subtle forms of humiliation and often not so subtle forms of humiliation. Yeah.
That's or the way it's girls done. Don't wear that.
Right.
You figured
exactly
that out.
So.
You figured that out at four.
and here's the other deal. I mean, in much that same way, I always, I give kids stuff that I think they're going to like regardless of, of gender.
Changed since then.
And I have to say, in my early 20s, it galled me when a small child I was, that was in my life, turned towards the pink pretty princess end of the spectrum. But after, I didn't actually, say anything to the kid at first. I was just like, kind of, okay, there we go.
No, it, you still
and
do
I,
that to
I
you.
Worked through it for a couple of months until I realized it's fine. I was glad that I had the wherewithal not to be critical out loud, but it was something that I wrestled with in my soul when I was alone, But but again, that expression, wherever that kid is at, whatever gender they are, they want to play pretty princess or they want to play dump trucks. Let's go. Because really, it's about supporting the individual in what they're finding to be a satisfactory representation of who they are. And that's really going to create the healthiest person and the happiest person to be, that interdependent member of your community that you're going to be relying on later on. So
right, and you have to look at your own projection big time.
Oh, we have those?
Apparently so.
How does that limit each other's freedoms and our own?
Hector projector? Big time.
Uh-huh.
That's how it limits other. But you have to look at your own stuff around children more than anything else rather than theirs.
Yes.
If that makes
indeed
sense.
Indeed so. Well, 503-231-8187
anyway,
is
friend.
The number to call. Yes, friend. You too can call. And it looks like we have Adam Michael might have figured out his technical phone issues. Good morning, Adam Michael.
Cheer me up already. Over the years, I've tried to learn how to treat women better and be more of a gentleman and in all sorts of ways. And there's a part in the Bible that talks about being undefiled, and I didn't realize what that really meant until I stopped touching myself and touching other women,
All right. Well,
and
I'm not sure exactly how that relates to freedom.
How it relates to freedom is that I was raised by a very chauvinistic father who treated my mother like crap at times.
Uh-huh.
And I always sided with her, I never, ever sided with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And even when it got physical, I would break the fights up. And my dad was a professional basketball player, so it got rough at times. But the thing is that, you know, when I got older and then my parents got divorced and then I moved on, and then I realized that, and I never hit women or anything like that. I never got into that. I was beaten up many times by an ex-girlfriend, and actually one time I pushed her away from me. She did break her arm, but it wasn't like I grabbed her and threw her on the ground.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, Michael,
have you got a point?
Where is this?
My point is that women, this year, something happened to me with women. And when I work with women from OPB and BBC a lot of times, and they started making me feel like a human being. And the men in different areas of those work, they didn't make me feel good about myself, but the women did, and I couldn't understand why.
Hmm.
It was nothing sexual. It was
have
just
you,
a relationship.
Have you
they,
come
I
to
felt
an answer?
A sense of freedom. I mean, real sense of freedom for the first time in my life.
Where you can actually feel like you're connecting with somebody?
More than that, like I felt like I was finally getting resolve on things that had happened earlier in my life, dealing with, you know, spirituality. I'm not in a religion. In a spirituality, the witches that were in my life previously, coming full circle and understanding that God has female in it, not mm-hmm. just male,
mm-hmm.
and that I don't have to push woman away and make her an outcast.
Right on.
And that, what's that?
I said, right on. That sounds like good understandings to come to. And I hope you continue to find increased peace in your life.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. So, again, looking at how we overall, you know, are able to hold each other up and bring each other through some interesting and difficult times.
Indeed.
We all have them.
And we do.
And again, the interdependence of community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep advancing this as my idea for how we get to, I mean, you know.
You've got a theme.
It's revolutionary, if you will. We,
in
you
a
know,
very
to become, free of the oppressive nature of the culture that has grown around us is really a huge goal, you know, for me, because a lot of this culture is deadening.
It's a noxious weed.
Indeed. So, you know, we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We, you know, have many, many agreements that make some sense. You know, the idea of doing no harm, the idea of being kind and compassionate to each other. These are also values that we talk about in this society. Unfortunately, the culture that's dominant around us values those so little as to make them background noise. And I think that those actually need to be...
Even worse than that, even more than background noise, that they're inferior traits.
Yeah, soft or weak.
Yeah.
That gets back into a gender discussion.
Yeah,
so, we, you know, but if we actually think of values of compassion, of interconnection, of mutual respect, mutual support... These are, in fact, values that will enable us to become stronger, healthier, happier beings. Nespa?
Oui. Now we have someone on the line.
503-231-8187. You two can join us this morning. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
We got about 20 minutes left with you as we broaden the discourse on this 4th of July weekend as we look at freedoms, dependence, interdependence, codependence, as we look at creating that new world together. It's that, you know, the zeitgeist. It's the July 4th weekend. The spark of revolution is in the air as we look at how, you know, in 1776, folks got together and signed the Declaration of Independence. There we are. Anniversary time.
Gutsy move on their part.
It was a gutsy move on their part. But let's look at how we can be independent now of this corporate culture, this deadening, it's deadening. When, again, we're given choices and told we have freedoms when we buy Pepsi or Coke, Mobil or Chevron, when we choose nuclear or coal, when we limit ourselves to these binary choices, it does not behoove us. It does not serve our full humanity. And I would like us to serve our full humanity. I have a goal. I think it'd be nice if we could live as full human beings and actually enjoy our lives with a modicum of freedom. I'm thinking. Lynn looks at me like I'm such a dreamer. The look on her face is priceless. No, where's the webcam? She's like, hey, it's Jeeps.
Projection.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. That was. All right.
You know, we have someone on the line. Her name's Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
I think. Do we?
I think we have surprised perhaps the engineer. We will pay for this.
Sorry, Mike.
And Mariah? Good morning, yeah. Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
All right. So I found it really interesting how you guys brought up sexuality as a good example of how we get, you know, kind of tricked into having only two options for things. Because I feel like for everything, you know, people just only know what they've been told initially, you know. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what am I going to drink today? Well, the options are Coke or Pepsi. It's like, what about water? Or what about, you know, anything else that you weren't told about or mm-hmm. whatever? And
the options that are off the table and not thinkable.
Right. And then it's you come with this dissatisfaction and you don't know why. And it's because you want a different option, but you don't know that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a lot of people just go with what they're told, and that's why, you know, there's so much dissatisfaction, and people just don't, open their horizons as much, you know. I had a boss once who we were talking about, Israel and Palestine, which isn't a good work conversation, but, you know, she was just like, don't you believe in truth? And it's like, she's believing what she's read in history books or been told on the TV. And it's just like, but you're not looking at the two sides. Like, you're not seeing all the options. And it's just kind of the same thing in all aspects, I believe.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks much for your call this morning.
You're welcome.
Take care. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And let's see, we have Naya on the line. Good morning, Naya.
Hi, good morning. I like the point the last caller made about Coke or Pepsi. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like I've been hearing a lot of us, myself included, communicate about ideals rather than laws that already exist to protect people. And if we just applied those to corporations, we wouldn't mm-hmm. have that problem. And you spoke earlier of do no harm. Well, there are laws to protect people,
right?
But they don't seem to apply to the little guy. And if they did, I mean, if we were enforcing laws that already existed, like treating people like people instead of corporations like people,
mm-hmm.
we really wouldn't have a problem. And by do no harm, I mean, it almost sounds like an ideal rather than, okay, we do have laws in place to protect these types of things.
There's an excellent point. And there is an article I was going to hope to bring up this morning, and I'm glad that you've brought this around. It's from The Guardian by Laura Flanders. Laura Flanders, a great commenter. And it's talking about exactly this, how justice has become the privilege of corporations. Because
justice is not a privilege.
Well, exactly. And it should not be a privilege. But her article certainly makes a point that the way things have been structured of late, justice and access to the courts is becoming a perk of the super powerful. And that, of course, cannot be, right? We have to really look at limiting this sort of power. As Lynn and I talked to David Cobb just a couple weeks ago, who's working with the Move to Amend really look at stripping corporate personhood and limiting corporate power. It's a huge underpinning of what keeps us in shackles and allows the destruction of our planet. You're absolutely right.
So how do we get over it?
Well, I think, again, making the invisible visible, right?
Okay.
This article, I'll go ahead and just read a bit. And part of that making the invisible visible is actually making sure that those that we're in contact with know that the corporations aren't there to altruistically give us jobs. So that when we hear things like Walmart wants to open 17 stores in Portland.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you've heard this.
I thought we'd gotten rid of them.
Woof. Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear things like that, and then we hear neighbors or family members say, oh, well, you know, it's good because I lost my job. I need cheap goods. We can talk to them about what those cheap goods mean in terms of not ever having jobs again.
And there's other places to get them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we've all lived without Walmart just fine.
Just fine.
Thank you very much.
Talking to people about how Barbie dolls are made because...
Yeah, yeah, right.
When you're giving a doll to a child and it's made by a child who has no rights, what's
right.
the freaking point?
Right. Thank you very much. So this article by Laura Flanders, I'm just going to go and read just a moment of it. Oh, I think there's a disconnect. Disconnect, I believe, has happened. Waving to the engineering pixie.
You got it.
The article is, Woman Gang Raped by 7 Halliburton Employees Signed Away Her Right to Sue. So... The article reads, worried about the influence of money in American politics, the huge cash payouts that the U.S. Supreme Court waived through by its Citizens United decision, that decision that has lifted most limits on election campaign spending, corporations are having their way with American elections, just as they've already had their way with our media. But at least we have the courts, right? No. The third branch of government is also in trouble. In fact, access to justice, like access to elected office, let alone a pundit's perch, is becoming a perk for the rich and powerful. Take a young woman now testifying in court in Texas. Jamie Lee Jones claims that she was drugged and gang raped while working for military contractor KBR in Iraq, at that time a division of Halliburton. KBR, not the country.
Yeah.
Well, could be argued. Jones, now 26, was on her fourth day in post Baghdad in 2005 when she says she was assaulted by 7 contractors who held her captive under armed guard by 2 KBR police in a shipping container. When the criminal courts failed to act, her lawyers filed civil suit, only to be met with Halliburton's response that all of her claims were to be decided by arbitration, because she had signed away her rights to bring the company to court when she signed her employment contract. As Lee testified before Congress in October 2009, I had signed away my right to a jury trial at the age of 20 without advice of counsel. It was a matter of sign or resign. I had no idea that the clause was part of the contract and what that clause actually meant, testified Jones. So the article goes on in other ways that this is happening around mortgages, harmful products and torts around that. It's a great article, again, cutting to how corporate power, the enforcement of corporate hegemony, is happening in all systems and must be turned back because it is the biggest threat to our freedoms at this time.
Ask the women at Walmart.
Ask them. Or the kids making the Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, Lee. We have just 10 minutes left. And we have Pi on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a thought on freedom on a personal level. I like to think of freedom as being able to do what we don't want to do and being able not to do what we want to do. I believe in that sense we are all free from both the inner and the outer world in terms of temptation and desire. That way whatever arises in life we can take with grace and appreciation.
All right. Nice. Everything with grace and appreciation.
Yeah, it's not so much a political and social view of freedom in the sense, but on a more
it's not always a social and political thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but more on a personal level.
Nice.
But that was all I wanted to add. Thank you very much.
Thank you for adding that, Pi. I think that actually walking in a space of gratitude and openness is very, very liberating.
And very difficult.
Yes. to maintain it for long stretches.
That is hard work. Yeah, that is hard work.
But I have found it. And in fact, once you, and not like I'm able, I'm not there 24/7. I'm not trying to say like, oh yes, I've ascended. But I have to say when I'm able to do this, it takes, it feeds my energy. I feel more energized and more connected while that's going on until I lose that perspective again. I'm working on it. Working. What can you do? So coming up on KBOO this morning, we have at 9 o'clock APA Compass, a forum of issues pertinent to Asian Pacific American communities. We will hear an interview with guests from SAALT, South Asian Americans Leading Together, a tribute to Vincent Chin, and a local high school student reflects on Asian American stereotypes. Excuse me. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, you can look at the escalating war in Libya after it was revealed that France has been arming rebels since April.
And, get out.
Ah, go fig. An interview with a captain of one of the freighters in the Freedom Flotilla 2. Also, there's going to be a look at a new report that reveals the real costs of war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and an update on the situation at the three ongoing nuclear crises in the U.S. That's right, three ongoing nuclear crises in the U.S.
Yeah.
Good to have a closer look at them. That's coming up this morning on Flashpoint. Stay tuned to KBOO, your very own community radio station, all morning long. At 11 o'clock, we'll hear from Shahid Hamid with It Takes a Village. And at 11:30 on Community Grooves, host Natalie Buto speaks with Charles Ruff of the Oregon Country Fair, which takes place, of course, next weekend. And Amer Ahmed of Hip Hop Congress, who will be speaking on the Summer Institute for Intercultural Communication in Portland. Thanks, KBOO members, so much for your support. Remember, KBOO is your locally owned grassroots community radio station. You are a part of us with your ears right now. We ask you to be a part of us with your financial support as well. If you're not a KBOO member, you can become one now by going to kboo.fm and clicking the tip jar in the corner. Let's go ahead and wrap up this morning with questions or in comments from Crystal. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for letting me into this hour because it's quite a good way to commemorate July 4th when you were just making announcements with France is arming rebels, right? The right kind of rebels, like stacking the courts. I mean, they're so involved in Libya just as much as we are. And with Dominique Strauss-Kahn now today, I hear that there's some questionable evidence from the maid who turned him in, and this has a lot to do with what you're saying. You know, I was almost convinced to stay on the Oregon coast for July 4th weekend, but I'm glad I came here to hear you talking about these incredibly these incredibly related events around July 4th that I really like being here with the KBOO community for this type of weekend. Like you said, there was the fireworks stand on Hawthorne. I thought that was so cute.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call. We have just only a couple minutes left. Probably not enough time to squeeze anyone else in. Though I have to say, I also appreciate very, very much all the time, really, being around KBOO community and like-minded communities. Not exclusively, we all, you know, it's like diversity is awesome. Diversity of thought is awesome. Keep interacting with everyone, awesome. But there is something about that family, that kinship, where you don't have to explain why you think that fireworks stand was funny. Right?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So glad to have you in the family. And, you know, glad we can all be here. As I like to look at this weekend as an exercise in surrealism. And so to that end, because if I forget for a moment that everything going on around me is surreal, I'll start getting kind of grumpy about things. And I want that, right? So I always think it's a good idea to greet absurdity with absurdity, to have some fun, right? Whenever possible, have some fun, and to try to widen the public discourse, to use this fabulous weekend of fun in the sun and fireworks and forthness to actually talk to folks about interdependence, about freedoms, about community, about kinship, about stripping corporate power, because it hurts us, right? It hurts us. Corporate power hurts people.
Hurts the planet?
Yes, to say the least. So I think it's an excellent time to keep putting those ideas out there and to think about maybe some elaborate kind of kooky, kind of fun, kind of eye-catching ways that you might want to do so. Just saying. Public spectacle, people. Public spectacle. It's been a while since we've had one, hasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public spectacle. It's fun. It enlivens the spirit. And, you know, earlier I was saying I think that we often clip our own wings. There's no law against a whole lot of kind of public spectacle. Right? You can put on a costume and go have a loud conversation. Call it street theater. You can do that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right? I know you know. I'm just saying, you know, people often say, oh, I don't want to do something like that. That'll rock the, I'll get in trouble. No, it's actually fun. It's quite liberating. Give it a whirl. Think about how it is
go
that
past,
you can.
Go past the bird.
Have some fun.
Do it. Go past putting a bird on it. You can go one step further than that. Just
one
try
step
that
further than putting the bird on it. Okay. I want to leave folks with a quote. One of my favorites. This is Anatole France. And I don't know, to me, as we were talking about the ever popular laws and the situation that is so dire and so unjust with access to power and privilege in the society, and how that is, in fact, the antithesis of freedom. I would love to leave everyone with a quote from Anatole France, which is, "The law in its majestic equality forbids the rich, as well as the poor, to sleep under bridges, beg in the streets, and steal bread."
Right on.
Go Anatole France with your
And go out there,
particular
folks.
Sense.
Be positively revolting until 2 weeks from today.
Indeed. Enjoy.